Appreciate the company we have with us, our guests, our visitors. Thank you very much for your attendance. The guys back, did you get an outline? You got one? All right, thank you. I get presumptuous and sometimes think people really want to follow along, you know, with what I have to say. You know, but we're in a series of lessons on Sunday night, dealing from where the wise man Solomon says there's six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. We've already covered the first four. We're on number five this evening from verse 18. The text is, God hates feet that are swift in running to evil. Or one translation says, mischief. Evil or mischief. So I've taken the phrase itself and divided it just into four parts of the verse and used each phrase for the points for the lesson this evening. So number one, we'll just look at that word feet, and obviously you know what feet are. But we look at we're looking at feet. Where do they go? Where are feet taking us? What are we doing? Remember the children's song I did when I was a youngster. Oh, just a couple years ago. But the song was, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. And that verse would be, so be careful, little feet, where you go. Then the last stanza of the song, as youngsters, we always enjoy singing it kind of rapidly. But so watch your eyes, ears, lips, your hands, your feet. Watch your eyes, ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So watch your eyes, ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. So that's kind of the lesson for the text. The one part, be careful, little feet, where you go. Well, we know what our feet are. It's our foot and part of the leg below the ankle. But our feet provide stability, balance, mobility. W. E. Vine, in his Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, mentions feet as the footstep may refer to a way of life or our conduct. Where are our feet taking us? What are we doing with our life? Where are we going? How are we behaving? Talking about our actions. Well, that's the lesson. It's interesting, in Proverbs chapter 4, in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon almost gives the similar lesson of Proverbs chapter 6. In chapter 4, beginning as verse 23, he again describes some parts of our body. Begins by saying, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Then he said, put away from you the deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So when we talk about our feet or the foot, we're concerned about the direction we're going. So the song and the definition and the proverb, they highlight the direction for our life. So I put in your notes, God helps us to have good feet. I don't want to dwell on that part of it. Dwell upon bad feet, but bad feet are kind of nasty. We want to look at some good feet. We even have a good feet store here in San Diego. Good feet. We want to put our feet in service to God. Right kind of service. So there's a footwork, that God does not hate. We want to go in that direction. And you can listen to these verses. In Psalm 18, verse 31, he asked the question, for who is God except the Lord? Right? Only one God. God is the Lord. Then it says, and who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way, the direction I'm going, perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Sets me on my high places. Now, Clarence mentioned a phrase in his lesson Wednesday night about hind feet. He asked the question, what does hind feet mean to you? Well, what is the feet like a deer? But what they were talking about, something that's steadfast and sure, even in the midst of some rocky areas. But we look at that mountain goat or that deer and what they're able to do, even in some difficult terrain. Stability, balance, mobility. And God says, yeah, I want your feet to be like that. Stable, mobile, and balanced. In Psalm 56, verse 13, it says, you, meaning God, you've delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before you in the light of the living? Keep my feet so I can walk the right way that you've outlined, O God. In Psalm 116, verse 8, repeats the admonition. You've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The direction we're going. So there's a walk, a way of life. And that's what we are to have in daily living. In Psalm 119, verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments. Yeah, there's a right way to walk, the way God's outlined. For I, the psalm finishes, for I delight in it. Delight in walking the way God directs. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies toward God. I thought about the way I'm walking, the direction I'm going. I'm turning toward God. Psalm 119, verse 101. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Do that which is right. Psalm 119, 105. Your word's a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. We're familiar with that one. In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it says, as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, he's not talking about the physical features of the foot. Where are your feet taking you? What are you doing with your feet? Your feet take you in a situation where you can present a good news message. Oh, those are beautiful feet. The path that we take, that's the concern of the text. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Feet are associated with the Christian's armor. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, they give the outline of the armor that we're to wear. You know, so we take up the whole armor of God. Have your waist girded about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shield of faith. That's what we want. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And all prayer. So if there's something with that in our lesson tonight, we're concerned with our feet. There's so much more that's associated with it. But our text is about going down the wrong path. I'll just put one verse for you for that one. In Jeremiah 14, verse 10. It says, thus says the Lord to His people, that's us, in our generation. What is God have to say to us concerning this topic? It says, thus they have loved to wander. They've not restrained their feet. Uh-oh. That's not an attaboy. That's not a congratulations. It's not well done. Not an accolade. They've not restrained their feet. So therefore, the verse continues, therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity and punish them. Oh, I don't want that. So I want to be careful with my feet where I go. The second part of the verse is that are swift. Feet that are swift. By definition. And then, you know, I always like definitions. So many times they not only tell us what the word means, but many times the definition gives the application too. We just look at what is, when we talk about our feet that are swift, means our, we're using our feet in a manner that's quick, speedy, fast, haste, rapid manner. I put one, even in the dictionary, it had chop chop and lickety split. So I thought I would include that. Feet that are swift, but we want to make sure we have good feet. We want our feet to run quickly in the right direction. So James chapter 1, verse 19 says, let every man be swift to hear. Ah, something we want to have quick. We don't want to go the wrong direction. That's a good start. Be swift to hear. We should be quick to hear God's word. We should rapidly receive God's word with readiness of mind. Be receptive. Be quick. To God, what would you say to me? Through your word. You command, I'll obey. God, you speak, I'll listen. God, if you send, I'll go. We want to be sure that when our feet are swift, we're going the right way. Our text is about a not so good swift. Proverbs 19, verse 2 said, also it's not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he sins who hastens with his feet. When we run to the wrong place, we run the wrong direction. We're made with the wrong people. We want to be sure that we use our feet correctly. Don't be too quick in thinking, I know what I'm doing. Or you might say, oh, I'll be okay. I know where I'm going. I've been there before and I came out all right. So I'm like, well, don't tell me what to do. Well, so we use our feet sometimes to go where we want to go instead of the direction God wants us to go. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right to man. Yeah. The end thereof are the ways of death. The text is feet that are swift. Feet that are swift. And running to evil or mischief. So number three is running to. So now we're concerned about the direction. Running to. By definition again, W. Vine says metaphorically, it's from the illustration of runners in a race. Of either swiftness or effort. And the added phrase is to attain a goal. Where are you running to? What's the end result? What's the product? The finished product? The end result. Something our feet are swift in going that direction. And that's what it implies, a direction or towards something. Remember the verse we quote so often when we talk about the invitation of obeying the gospel in Acts 2, verse 38. Where it mentions, they asked, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and receive the gift of God's Spirit. And the verse continues, for to you is the promise, and to your children, all that are far off, even as may the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The King James is untoward generation, meaning you're going somewhere that's not a purposeful direction. It's not the spiritual object. It's untoward. Another translation says crooked. Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Untoward. In other words, the direction you're going is not right. So he says, save yourself. Then the next verse is, those that gladly received his word were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Then verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. So we want to make sure that when our feet are running towards something, it's running toward that which is right and not untoward. The last one, you have the other verses in the text for the idea of running a race. The last one, feet that are swift and running toward or to evil. Or mischief. By definition, again, it helps us with the application. Mischief. So I just, this is my definition. Problem is that you miss things that are of chief importance. Chief importance. Mischief. You miss it. When you run toward mischief, you take yourself away from things that are productive, that are good, where there's virtue. So they added definition in the dictionary. So mischief is a thing that causes harm or irritation or an annoyance. Hey, just, you're mischievous. Mischievous. You're a mischief maker or a troublemaker. So we don't want our feet to swiftly run toward mischief. And the other one, the translation is evil. Well, we obviously, we recognize that is an evildoer. Stands for whatever is evil in character. Wickedness. Naughty. Badness. Iniquity. Wrongdoing. Maliciousness. Wow. Well, I'm not going to do that. Maybe a little mischief, but I'm not going to do evil. Well, these are things that God hates. Abomination. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. But again, the proverb is, don't go that direction. Don't reach that end. The verse continues, keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Oh, no, they're running quickly in the wrong way. Don't go there. Don't do it. Isaiah 59, verse 7. Again, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they haven't known. There's no justice in their ways. They made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. So don't go there. That's the warning. And they added to it with the bottom line, these are the things that God hates. It's not just to say, it's not just, oh, I have a good suggestion for you about the direction to take. No. Things that God hates, an abomination to God. So here are some, I'll close out with just some warnings from Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 29, do not deceive or do not devise evil against your neighbor. Now don't involve yourself with mischief against your neighbor. Chapter 11, verse 19, as righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Well, I don't want to die. I don't want to die spiritually. Be separated from God. I want to walk the right way. The proverb in chapter 14, verse 22, do they not go astray who devise evil? There's our word, our fourth word, feet that are swift in running to evil or mischief. Chapter 16, verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Chapter 21, verse 10. Is the soul of the wicked devises evil. Chapter 30, verse 32. If you've been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. Cover up. So we close with these verses. Psalm 97, verse 10. You who love the Lord, boy, the hands go up. What do we just? How many here love the Lord? Boy, I think two of them. Raise them high. If I could get them up. I'm older. You who love the Lord, that's the objective. The illustration. When I was at our kitchen table and bench and window that was right there, my dad, and I would sit here, my brother Randall, my brother Rod, and my mom. Table right up against the kitchen window there. And Dad would look out. And he might say, son, I see the grass needs mowing. And he didn't tell me to go mow the grass. He said, son, or Brian, I see the grass needs mowing. Now, only one time I did this. I looked up and said, well, Dad, I see the grass, but I don't see that it needs mowing. Now, Dad didn't say go mow the grass, but what he did say, he wanted me to see grass the way he saw it. That's what God does in His Word. He wants us to see things the way He does. He says, I hate evil. I hate mischief. It's an abomination. And we're not to respond and kind of get up and say, God, I see that over there, but I just don't see it quite the same way. Uh-oh. We don't see it the same way God does. That's a problem. So that's what the lesson is. We want to focus on that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22 says, abstain from every form or the appearance of evil. And 1 Peter 3, verse 8 says, finally, all of you be one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil. Or reviling for reviling. Don't do that. But on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this. That you may inherit a blessing. Well, that's a challenge. For he who would love life and see good days, I want to do that. I want to love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit, and let him turn away from evil and do good. That's the challenge. All right. Next week we'll talk about slander. I won't have anything to say. Well, that's next week. That's number 6 on the list. All right. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. It's an invitation. It's a gospel or good news invitation to become a Christian. It's a simple process or formula. Sometimes there's steps or ingredients in the process. Number one, you need to hear the good news that God loves you. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world He gave. You need to hear that good news message. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So obviously in that process of becoming a Christian, you need to hear. Then second, you'll need to believe what you hear. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Well, I'm going to die in my sins. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, he that comes to God must believe that He is, and as a reward of them that diligently seek after Him. I want to believe the message that God's given. Then number 3, you'll want to repent of your sins, because Jesus said that in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. Well, I don't want to perish. I'm going to turn my life around. Then number 4, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did with Philip when Philip preached to him Jesus. And hearing that Jesus message, the Ethiopian says, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? Well, Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he made a confession. Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip stopped. He said, stop the chariot. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water. Philip and the Ethiopian, Philip baptized him. Come up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. So that's the invitation we extend. Then from that point on, after that five-step process, once those four things are in place, then you'd be baptized. And then from that point on, then you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. So let's stand and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. Dennis.